Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Salvation is something that you should never take lightly, take for granted, have a casual attitude toward. Well, I might think about that for the future. I'm not ready for that right now. You know, I'm still busy. I still got a lot of things I want to do. I'm still having fun. Well, that's a dangerous mentality because it can result in a judgment.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, in a message titled, Jesus and the Man Born Blind. Now here's Pastor Brian.
You know, the Jews to this very day believe that God gave the law to Moses that was passed on in written form, but at the same time, God gave what is known as the oral law to Moses that was passed on orally by tradition. And they believe to this very day that those two things are inseparable. That you cannot possibly understand or interpret or live according to the written law of Moses without the oral law to interpret it. Now, the oral law has long since been written down as well. Some people today are puzzled by the fact that the Jews have the same Old Testament that we do, and yet they can't seem to see what we see in it, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be puzzled by that. You see, the problem is the Jew cannot simply read the Old Testament. He has to read the Old Testament through the grid of the oral tradition. And he's not free to interpret the Old Testament on his own or to just simply read it and then draw his own conclusion regarding what it means or who it pertains to. He has to go through this filter, this rabbinic filter that has been set up. And so immediately following the written law of God, you have what is called the Mishnah. The Mishnah is the rabbinical commentary on the Torah. And then you have what's called the Gemara. The Gemara is the rabbinical commentary on the Mishnah, which is the rabbinical commentary on the Torah. And all of these are compiled together in what is known as the Talmud. Perhaps you've heard of the Talmud. So you see, it's this oral tradition that Jesus completely disregarded. Jesus said that it absolutely had no validity whatsoever. He said that you, speaking to them, he said, you have taken the doctrines of men and you have sought to turn them into the commandments of God. And see, this was the big contention between Jesus and these men. It was his unwillingness to accept their theory of the oral tradition being from God and binding. But that's what they're holding on to. That's what's causing their consternation. He has violated the law. He spit on the ground and he made clay. He violated the Sabbath. He mixed some compound together. That's a violation of the Sabbath, they said. But again, you know, it's just amazing how blind people can become to the obvious and to the truth when their minds get set on some sort of thing like this, some tradition, some view that they hold dear. They oftentimes become completely irrational. And that's where these guys were at. And so they're angry. They said, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Now this guy, think about this. Here's a guy who has been a beggar all of his adult life, probably, maybe even younger. Here's a guy who has had no education, apparently. Here's a guy who has basically been, in many ways, an outcast, because remember, he would have been considered to have been in the condition that he was in because of sin. So, hey, here's this blind guy, and he was born that way. He deserves to be in the state that he's in. But this guy, he's a scrapper. He's pretty tough. Now, his parents are totally intimidated. When they say, "Is this your son who was born blind? How is he made whole?" They say, "Ask him, we don't know." He, on the other hand, he's going to get into a scrap with these guys. And it's great. I wish we could get this one on film. So he says, verse 25, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." He says, "This is what I know. I was blind, now I see." We'll come back to that in a moment. "Then they said to him again, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered them, 'I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple?'" I think he said this to antagonize them. You know, he's really picking a fight with them right now. "Do you want to become his disciple?" He obviously knows they don't. But this just shows you the kind of guy he was. "Then they reviled him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from.' The man answered and said to them, 'Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.'" This guy's sharp. He's got a real sharp mind. To him, it's crystal clear. What do you mean he's a sinner? God doesn't hear sinners. God doesn't work through sinners. God doesn't answer the prayers of sinners to do something that has never been heard of in the history of the world. He said, "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, and you can just imagine their tone and their contorted faces, "You were completely born in sins. And are you teaching us?" See, now their heart comes out. That's what they really felt about this guy. "You were born in sins. You were born blind. Are you going to try to teach us?" They, of course, were the spiritual authorities of the day. And they cast him out. What his parents feared might happen to them happened to their son. They threw him out of the synagogue. They cast him out. He was ejected from the congregation. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Now remember, think about this. This guy had never seen Jesus. He had heard him. He had felt his touch. He was sent away. And by the time he returned, Jesus was not there. So he had yet to see him. He just knew him by name. And of course, he would have known his voice. Now, Jesus seeks him out. And he says to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And you can imagine at that moment, here's this man. He's hearing that voice, that same voice that spoke to him and said, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. I love the way Jesus said things. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? You have seen him, and he is talking to you right now. You know, it's like the woman at the well. Remember? At one point, she finally said, we know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. I love that. And so the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him, they heard these words, and they said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. That is heavy. Because you say, we see, your sin remains. If you were blind, he said, you would have no sin. What's he talking about here? You see, they were self-righteous. They were self-confident. They knew. You know, can you imagine this? I mean, this is the Son of God. This is God in human flesh. This is the Word incarnate. And these men are arguing with him. They're contending with him. They're contradicting him. They're fighting against him on every angle imaginable. They're opposing his words. And when something as marvelous as a man being healed from blindness, who was born blind, has happened right in their midst, they stiffen themselves up and they refuse to see the obvious. Again, as I mentioned, they themselves were the ones who said that the Messiah alone would be one who could open the eyes of the blind. But now it's all right in front of them. But you see, they're insisting, no, we see. We see clearly. We know what's right. But Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. And that's what God does. You know, sometimes I think we forget a couple of things. Sometimes I think we forget that men are actively sinners. We sort of tend to sometimes think that this, you know, the sin thing, it's something that's, you know, it's forced upon us, and people, you know, they do these things, but they can't really be held responsible for it because, you know, it's not really their fault. And we tend to sort of look at sinful people oftentimes more as victims than as perpetrators. Well, the Bible is very clear that as sinners, we are actively sinning against God. It's a rebellion against him. And that's what's being described here. I sometimes fall into the trap in my mind of just thinking that, oh, you know, if they could just hear the gospel, then they would surely respond to it. And that just shows that sometimes we're not realizing the true nature of the case. Men are naturally bent against God, hostile to him. I have seen over the years frightening things. I have seen people in church, in ministry even, go to a place where they would actually be blaspheming God, rebelling against him, blatantly disobeying his commandments. And I'll never forget a situation many years ago where there was a family, and the wife in that family, she went off the deep end spiritually. She had been in church for many years. She had been very kind and soft-spoken and loving and all of these things. And then one day she just left her husband for another man. And I was talking to him one day, and he said to me, you know, she's no longer herself. And as he said that, I thought, well, no, she is now actually herself. This is the end of self. It's animosity to God. It's enmity against God. It's an absolute rebellion to God's presence and his authority. You see, we need to understand that. Most of the world is going to continue in that course. In reading 1 Corinthians this past week, again, I was reminded of that when Paul said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. To some people, the preaching of the cross is utter foolishness, and it will remain utter foolishness to them, and it just is indicative of where they're headed. They're perishing. You know, we don't like to think of that so much. We sort of like to think that, oh, in the end, it's all going to be okay, and everybody's going to make it in ultimately. And you know, there are even some leaders in the churches today who are saying things like that. But it's not so. Paul said that the message is foolishness to those who are perishing. Jesus came, really, as he said here, to pronounce a judgment. He came to open the eyes of those who are blind and to close the eyes of those who say that they see. And that's the difference right there. A person who acknowledges their blindness, a person who acknowledges their sinfulness, a person who says, oh God, have mercy on me. As Jesus described it in another way, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit means to recognize your own spiritual bankruptcy and the fact that you need God's mercy or you're going to hell. Jesus came to open the eyes of those people so they could see the truth and be saved. But for those who are righteous in themselves, confident in themselves, secure in themselves, smug, and we don't need that. He came to actually pass a judgment upon them to blind them. And I think there are men today who have had a judgment passed upon them. They're blinded to the truth. Because they have for so long opposed it and resisted it and refused to respond to it, there comes a place where God just seals their position. That's what happened with Pharaoh back in Egypt during the time of Moses. People are troubled by the fact that it says in Exodus that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What Jesus is saying right here is the explanation for what God did with Pharaoh. Pharaoh had 10 separate opportunities to respond to God's mercy and grace. And each time he refused, and there was one final time when his fate was sealed. But each time he resisted and rebelled, God just let him remain. Okay, if that's your position, you can stay in that position. Salvation is something that you should never take lightly, take for granted, have a casual attitude toward. Well, I might think about that for the future. I'm not ready for that right now. You know, I'm still busy. I still got a lot of things I want to do. I'm still having fun. Well, that's a dangerous mentality because it can result in a judgment. But this 41st verse, Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say, I see, your sin remains. So it was because of their insistence that they were right, that there was no help for them and there was no hope for them. This is really, you know, indirectly, it's just a powerful warning for all people. Any man who thinks he's right and God is wrong has got it completely backwards. And one day we'll find out the hard way. But one last thought. Going back to this man, his testimony. One thing I know, I was blind, now I see. Here's an example of a personal testimony. You know, we all of us want to, I think, reach people for Jesus. We all want people to come to be saved. But sometimes I know people feel intimidated. They feel like, oh, I don't really know enough. Or, oh my, if somebody asked me a question about the Bible, I don't know what I would say to them. And so there's a timidity and sort of a, you know, oh, hope nobody asked me anything, or oh no, I better not say anything right here because then they might say this, and then I won't, and oh, what do I do? And you know, don't worry about that. And a great place to start is simply with your own story. Everybody has a testimony, everybody has a story, and everybody can probably say to some degree, like this guy could say, I was once blind, but now I see. And that's always a powerful thing. And God has used many a testimony to draw others to Himself. And so remember that. And if you find yourself in a situation where people are probing, where they're asking questions, where they're wondering what's going on, or even sometimes if it could develop into a bit of a contentious situation, just share what God's done in your life, how you met Him, what He's done for you, and the Lord will use that. That's one thing that any of us can do. Simply share our story. You know, as we look at this story, again, and one of the things that I so much love about John's gospel, as we said way back when we began our study through this gospel, is just to see the dealings of Jesus with people. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful the way He deals with people and His love for people and His reaching out to them. It's wonderful also to see His dealings with His opponents. And to just be reminded that He's got it all under control, and one day He's going to make it clear. As Paul reminded us, one day He will show who is the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can leave it to Him. He's going to take care of that in His time. But as we see His dealings with people like this blind man, and His love and His compassion, for who? For those who are poor in spirit. For those who are humble. For those who are honest enough to say, you know, I don't have it together. I need help. I need you, God. Those are the ones that still today the Lord is looking for those people, and He wants to bless them. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you came in here tonight, and maybe you've been in somewhat of a state of blindness, but you're open and you want to know. Well, the Lord wants to touch you, and He wants to open your eyes. He wants to open your heart. He wants to open your life up to that work of His Spirit. So just yield to Him.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Wisdom for Today, a 365-day devotional by Chuck Smith. Our culture values knowledge, but people don't always strive to know the most important things. The truth is, you may be extremely knowledgeable about science or technology, but if you're missing the wisdom of God, you're missing the most important knowledge a person could ever hope to attain. Join the tens of thousands who have benefited from reading Chuck Smith's devotional, Wisdom for Today, which takes you systematically through the entire Bible, one day at a time. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this book titled Wisdom for Today, a 365-day devotional by Chuck Smith. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the devotional Wisdom for Today by Chuck Smith as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.